Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Raising Saints, an AM 820 production designed for parents who desire to raise the saints in their life. And now, Raising Saints with Katie Wyatt.
Hello and welcome to Raising Saints, the show for Catholic parents. I'm your host, Katie Wyatt, and you're listening to AM 820 St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Here on Raising Saints, we talk to teenagers about the issues that matter most, and we invite you, parents, to listen in on our conversations. And we hope and pray that in doing so, you'll gain insight and wisdom, knowledge, maybe even some courage that you need to have these conversations with your own Catholic teenagers. So here on this episode, we are in our second of 8 episodes on the Beatitudes. We covered the first Beatitude in our last episode. We're moving on to the second Beatitude, which is, "Blessed are those who mourn, they shall be comforted." And our Catechism, paragraph 1717, states that the Beatitudes are the paradoxical promises that sustain hope in the midst of tribulations. And I love this quote, especially in regard to, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted," because in our culture, mourning is not viewed as a blessed event, right? If we're mourning, it's because we've lost something or someone we love. It's because we've been wronged or we've been hurt or damaged in some way. And in fact, I would even say that mourning is one of the single greatest reasons people lose faith. And that, for me, highlights the paradox of the promises of the Beatitudes. In the second Beatitude, we're promised that mourning will lead to comfort. So here to talk with us about this today are two of our regular teenagers. Why don't you tell me your name and where you go to church?
I'm Mai, and I go to St. Bridget of Kildare.
I'm Zach, and I go to St. John Newman.
Great. Well, thank you, Mai and Zach, for being back with us today. At the heart of the second Beatitude, really what Jesus is calling us to do is be empathetic and compassionate, right? Because we only mourn for what we love. If we don't love, we don't mourn. We don't care enough to mourn, right? And conversely, and maybe even ironically, the more we love, the more we will mourn, which is such a bummer.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, for you guys as teenagers, have you ever mourned a loss? Death of a family member, loss of a friend, loss of something that was important to you, loss of a pet, anything that you feel that you have mourned?
Thanks be to God, no one in my life has really died.
Mm-hmm.
But I have mourned the loss of friends. I've had friends like come and go that have been really good friends, and then just stop talking one day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been hard at times, but it gets better because then I know that God puts other people in my life that are going to lead me to Him.
Right.
I think for me, I have had, unfortunately, a couple family members pass away, but I think the hardest ones have been just kids at school, you know, from an accident or, and this happened both when I was in Mexico and I came here. So I've dealt with close deaths to that sense.
How did that mourning affect your faith? Like, did it bring you closer to God? It make you angry at God? Make you doubt God?
I think, you know, the first reaction is always, why did this happen to me? Why, if I'm supposed to be doing things right, is this happening to me? And do I have to go through all of this? And does it feel, you know, so bad? But I try to think kind of what Zach was saying, you know, the people that are put in your life afterwards and what that makes you realize. And I think for me, some of those have been realizing how much people would help just from me being kind before to these people, then suddenly these people are going out of their way to help me, to just make me feel a little bit better, even, you know, if it's insignificant things. And it's great to see that it pays off, that you made an impact in some other people. And that is something that it doesn't, you know, that doesn't go away. And it, as hard as it is to, you know, to mourn the loss, the idea that someone is not there, I think it strengthens my faith because I think he or she is with God now. I mean, they're not suffering. It's a little bit easier for them. And yeah, for me, you know, it's hard, but that doesn't mean that it's a goodbye forever. So that makes it a little bit easier to think about.
So that hope of heaven makes a huge difference.
The hope of heaven. Mm-hmm.
Zach, what about kids at school or kids, maybe people you don't know, you didn't know directly, but I know in a lot of schools, there's like a lot of suicides, a lot of drunk driving accidents, have you dealt with that in your school?
Yeah, I mean, there's one, there's two kids, I'm not going to name the names, but it was like a year or two ago who got in a really bad car accident. I didn't know them directly, but my brother did.
And even that affects, I mean, even that makes us mourn, I think, for a variety of reasons, you know, sorrow for their families, sorrow for just the shortness of life, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Thanks be to God, though, the one kid is okay. They said that he would never walk again, and through physical therapy, he's on his feet now.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And they're both still alive and functioning now. So that's really reassuring to know. And hopefully that they've grown in faith because of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that kind of affected me, just knowing like why they were in that situation.
Right. Right. It hits close to home, even if it wasn't.
Yeah.
Even if you weren't directly involved in any way. Do you think our potential, just the human potential for mourning, does that make people avoid love, like put up walls? Like, because we talked about how the more we love, the more we mourn. I don't know. Do you know people who do that? Do you guys do that?
I've never really put up walls to people because I guess I just don't think about it that way. Like, oh yeah, I'm going to love this person as like a friend. And then like 5-10 years down the road, I'm going to lose them. Like, I guess I just don't think about that.
Yeah, you haven't had enough experiences of that either, probably at your age, too. That might be something that older people do more of. Like, the sure. more people that have come in and out of our lives, the more we say, you know what? I'm not setting myself up for that again.
Especially if they've had past experiences with death of family members, friends, stuff like that.
For me, that's been a huge one, especially like recently, you know, just family members coming and going. To say the least, but it's that idea that you have to, you know, adapt to a totally new circumstance and realize, well, it's not so, you know, pretty as you thought it was at the beginning. And I don't think it goes as a wall. Like, I've heard it a ton of times already. Don't put up a wall, Mai. You know, talk about your feelings. Tell this. Like, I'm naturally a person that will blab out everything.
Yeah, I think we get that.
Yeah, I think so. Otherwise, I wouldn't be
here.
And we
love you for it.
but it's definitely something that that you have to be cautious about, because sometimes you don't realize that you're setting yourself back a little bit and you're trying to protect your heart against, you know, all these little things that are causing you to hurt. And it's a natural reaction. But I think you need to remember that you can't be afraid of it, because God is there for you. And
so how do you avoid becoming hard-hearted? Like, how do we keep our hearts open for love, knowing that love is going to hurt, you know, that we are going to mourn, whatever the situation may be? How do we leave our hearts open to that Christian love and still, you know, and not get hard-hearted, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
I think for me, and this is, you know, very personal, but at the same time, I don't know if this might work for someone else. I think of all the things that I feel like I need. Sometimes it's, I need to be understood. I want comfort. I want someone to be here. Like, well, you know, just little things that you think you need. And then I try to use those and go out and do it for someone else. That gives me a little bit of hope. That brings back the sense of, you're doing something that God wants you to do. And that just kind of brings back a little bit of that peace. It's really taking away the attention from the things that are hurting you and putting them somewhere else, like making a sacrifice for someone else. Mm-hmm. I used to hear that a lot. You know, my grandma used to say that a lot when I was little. You know, when someone was sick or something like that, my mom would say, all right, you know, do this for them kind of idea. So could have nothing to do with it. I don't know, clean the house or wash.
Right.
I don't know. Do your laundry for someone else that has suffering. For example, one of my sister's friend had cancer. And I remember, and this was when we were younger, and I remember doing all these little things, and always afterwards I was done praying for her and saying, okay, this effort of mine was for you to hopefully help you get better.
How did they say offer it up in Spanish? Like, clearly that's what they were saying, right? did your parents say that? Offer it up? Or your grandmothers? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Sorry. I guess. Language barrier here. This is what we do.
Offer it up. I don't know. How would that translate?
I need to think like what the right context would be.
Okay.
Yes, a little bit. Sorry. But I don't know. But I think it is a good way to describe it, because it's saying I give up something of myself for you, whether
as parents too, like, you guys won't be able to relate to this yet, but we would never harden our hearts to our kids, even though we know our kids are going to hurt our hearts, you know, or the we're going to find them in situations. Your parents can totally relate to this. I know Zach and my, like, it's not even a issue to harden your heart or put up a wall. You're going to love your kid unconditionally and unreservedly, knowing full well that the pain is going to come with that. So I think that's a really good analogy for Christian love. Like, we're just called to love. We're not called to be nervous about what pain that might bring. You know, we're supposed to be responsible about it, obviously. We don't love recklessly. But what are some places or things where people erroneously turn to be comforted? We're talking about the second beatitude. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. But what are some things we think will provide comfort, but they actually don't? I don't know. Zach, what are your thoughts on that?
I think a lot of people turn to just different things for everyone. I mean, I hear comfort food tossed around a lot.
Yeah.
Like when you're upset, you have comfort food.
Yeah.
To help.
The bucket of ice cream.
Yeah, whatever. Cake.
Just those fatty foods to eat your sorrow away.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think it's different for everyone. And
is it different for teenagers, generally speaking, different for teenagers than it is for adults, do you think?
I think some things are. Like, it would just depend, like, situation to situation, like, and, like, the severity of it, like, what a teenager would do to comfort themselves. I mean, a lot of times it's just, like, for me, just talking it out with a friend. After youth group, me and one of my friends will just talk about stuff that's been going on.
Well, first you'll go out for some comfort food. And while
go to Wendy's and get Frosties.
And then you talk about
Frosties and then we talk about it.
And then you talk. You can't do anything without food.
It happens in phases. So, but actually some of these things, so I don't know whether it's comfort food. For some people it's bad relationships, right? For some people it's
alcohol,
drinking or drugs or whatever. But often these things lead us deeper into mourning, mm-hmm. right? They're supposed to be pulling us out of our mourning. They're supposed to be comforting us, but they're just leading us deeper. And so I'm wondering if you guys have ever experienced this or witnessed it in your peers, you know, someone who sought comfort in the wrong place and then actually ended up being more depressed or sad or lost than they actually were.
Yeah. One of my friends, he went through a really, really bad breakup recently and just turned to the wrong things to try and help him, but ultimately it didn't.
And did he come out the other side going, oh my gosh, now I have even more work to do?
I think that's a realization that a lot of people don't think about before they go into these things and
right.
they say, all right, I just need something that takes it away temporarily. And I think like a lot of these things, like the food, the alcohol, the drugs.
Spending money, that's a big one. Yeah. Yeah. Then you're really in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But all of those things, you know, I think the purpose of it is taking your mind off of it. And I think sometimes what you really need is find a way to make it useful. I mean, that mourning, and I like what you said about the more you love, the more you mourn, because you're putting yourself in someone else's shoes. So why not try to do the same thing when you're mourning? Why not try to be in someone else's shoes and say, hey, these are the blessings that I can count? Or as a matter of fact, just say, all right, I need some positive attitude going on in my, you know, in my life. Then why not try something that you think will positively help you get that optimism going.
Yeah, it is a weird instinct to turn to destructive things for comfort.
I'm not really sure. But
I don't understand that. Yeah, because when you're if you're sad and you help someone else, like you were talking about, that has such a more lasting impact, such a better impact than something that is more destructive or less productive.
And I think a lot of it too is these relations that you have with people and the interaction with others. Because think about, okay, again, alcohol, drugs, all of that, you're really not getting anything out of it. Like, alcohol doesn't teach you anything.
Right.
You
right.
know, like, compared to what if you spend just a little bit of time being nice to your sibling? I don't know.
People are like, I'd rather drink alcohol.
Well, okay, that's a little drastic, but I'm thinking back on the teenage mind, you know.
Yes, no, I'm kidding.
Thinking, okay, well, I'm going to give an example. I'm very mad about or stressed about these tests and all these grades and everything that's going on, and I feel like I just can't get it right. And then you take some time and think about your sibling, for example, and say, okay, what are they going through? And then you put things in perspective and you realize, I can help him. I already went through that. So your problems just become so much smaller. And I really can't explain why that happens, but I've found that it's very effective, not just for me, but I've seen it throughout my family and through some other friends. Like,
well, you're just taking the focus off of yourself.
Yeah, and my point is getting something out of it. And a lot of it is listening to other people's perspectives. And sometimes what you just need is someone who says, well, it's not that bad. Or, yeah. you know, or just someone who tells you about their own problems. Yes, and then you're right. like,
you think you have it bad. Yeah. If you're just joining us,
you don't want it to become the reality TV show, right?
Yeah, right. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Raising Saints on AM 820, St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Katie Wyatt, and we're here with Zach and Mai. We're in our second episode of our Beatitude series. We're talking about the second Beatitude. Blessed are those who mourn, they shall be comforted. How can we prepare ourselves now? Now, while we're not in mourning, while life is good, while we're happy, to be ready to allow Christ to comfort us when it becomes necessary, right? In other words, what can we do now in our relationship with Christ to be sure we won't turn away from God or blame God or be angry at God when we are hurting?
I think for me, that's one of my biggest fears. It's saying, how do I make sure that I don't go off, you know, the track? And I think a lot of it is doing those little things every day that say, that remind you that God is there, that you want to strengthen that relationship.
And those things become habit.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, you know, when worse comes, you respond like you've been acting for the past time. And I think that definitely helps. And I've gone through that and I've realized that those habits that I've built throughout the years work. And it doesn't mean that you're not going to have to work through the morning, but it gives you a sense of hope. Even when you feel like everything is lost, there is that little glimpse of light that you know, all right, God, it's your turn. I have nothing else to offer. This is all in your hands, and I've done my part, and I've tried, and I keep trying. But, you know, it just gives you a little bit easier way to go about it.
Zach, have you ever pondered that? Like, my faith is strong now, but what happens when the other shoe falls?
Yeah, I've thought about that a lot. And I would say just make your faith stronger. When
day to day, you mean?
Right, just when you're not going through suffering, and when you have the mental and emotional ability to make your faith stronger. That way, when you do go through hardships in your life, it doesn't bring you down that much because your faith is just so much better.
So what do you do to make your faith stronger?
I just do morning and evening prayer. In between, I go to Columbus State in the morning, and then I have a driving period in between, so I'll just sit in the parking lot and read my youth catechism and the gospel in between classes.
That's awesome.
And it's only like 20-25 minutes at the most that I have, but at least I'm using that time productively.
And you're also very actively involved in your youth group. Does that help you make your faith stronger now?
It does. Helps me just with like making better relationships with people, making actual faith-filled relationships with the people at youth group. That helps. That way, when I do have hardships, I can just go to them and talk to them about it. And a lot of times they're really helpful with it.
Same for you, Mai?
Yeah, absolutely. It's surrounding yourself with the right kind of people. And, you know, sometimes that takes a little bit to figure out. But youth group for me is a big one. I don't know what I would do without youth group, especially throughout high school. Like, being the last year, I cannot imagine high school without youth group. It's where I learned to say, this is who I am, and I can come to these people anytime. But yeah, same thing. I don't get the exact time that you do, but I do try to do a little bit of those things every day, you know, with the varied cultural background that I have and whatnot from all the different countries. We've collected all these different prayers, and I have like a little book that I like to carry around with me, and sometimes in between classes I'll kind of read one, or I'll try to memorize, you know, 2-3 short lines. I'm not asking for a huge prayer because I feel then it feels like homework to me then.
Right.
So I just try little things and just say, take legitimately 30 seconds to thank God for something, to say, okay, all right, you know, how do you bring back, you know, how do you bring God back into your life? How do you put him with everything you do? Finding a connection between all of that.
Well, because this is a show for parents of Catholic teenagers, I think it might be interesting to hear your perspective on how our parents can help us in this regard? Like, so what do parents do, or what have your parents done in your life to help you strengthen your faith now, so that when you have times of mourning, times of trial, your faith is solid and your instinct isn't to turn on God, you know, be angry at God?
I would say that they've just been an example to me. And one example sticks out very clearly. My grandpa had a lot wrong with him. He had blood clot in his lungs. And my mom took a flight to go see him. And on the flight, she prayed a rosary. And it was 3 hour, 4 hour flight or something. And she just prayed the rosary.
The whole time?
Not the whole time, but for, I'm not sure how many she prayed, but yeah. I think she prayed a few.
Yeah.
And she prayed it, blessing the throat and the lungs. And then once it, I think she said it was almost simultaneously that this came back, that it had cleared up. So
wow.
I think that's just the power of the rosary to our Blessed Mother.
And just the power of prayer for other people. For me, a big inspiration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My mom has always been a fantastic example. And she's always, you know, when we talk about our issues, she always finds a way to connect it at the end in terms of, so what do you think God thinks about this? Like, almost
that's
like
such
that.
A mom thing.
Like that, you know? And sometimes it's like that. Sometimes it's a little more subtle. And sometimes I think of it and I bring it up and then my mom expands on it. And it's fantastic. But the one person that I did want to talk about was my brother. And he's older than me. He's a sophomore at Notre Dame. And he is absolutely an inspiration to me. And I think, as you know, the male role model in my family, he is someone who is constantly reaching out to me and sending, you know, articles about faith or articles about, you know, these issues with teenagers, or, you know, he's really into the whole right to life thing. And, you know, just getting these random, I don't know, two sentences of a prayer or something. And that just brings it back. And that just inspires me to say, I can take some more time. If he's making that much effort, and, you know, I can make the same effort. I want to do the same thing.
What a blessing, because older siblings have such an impact on younger siblings.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. You know, in regard to this beatitude, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Sometimes we're called to be the mourners, but sometimes we're called to be the comforters. And have you ever had to comfort someone who was mourning?
Yeah. For me, one of my friends was mourning, and he came to me and told me all of this. And I think the hardest part was just kind of putting it in perspective. A lot of it, he had been going to church with me for a little while. And then once all of this came out, he just stopped. And I think the hardest part was just putting it in perspective that God has bigger plans for you than this, but he's using this to strengthen you.
The hardest part for him, or the hardest part
for
you to explain?
The hardest part
for
me was to instill that into his mind and get him,
help him
to
understand
realize
that.
Yeah.
It's kind of those awkward situations. I have a really good friend. She's always supported me through a lot, and we both have recently gone through a very horrible tragedy, you know, within our families. And it was hard when I realized that she was going through the same thing and that she was making that much more effort to try to, you know, comfort me. I was like, what are you doing? You need to do something about this, you know? And it's definitely something that is shocking, because it almost feels awkward. It feels like, well, she's always the one that's comforting me, so how do I make sure that I make up, like, or do as good of a job that she was doing?
Mm-hmm.
But I think when those relationships happen, it's great for you to tell them and to show these, you know, these friends or these other people that they've made an impact on you. And I think that is one of the biggest ways to comfort someone, and to say, you know, and to relate it back to God and say, this is what you've inspired for my faith, and this is what I want to show you, and I'm here for you.
What gives you comfort? Like, how have other people comforted you? Parents, friends?
A lot of it for me has just been, they've been there. They've been present.
Just presence.
Yeah.
It's an unwavering acts of kindness. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. Like, they, every little thing that you've done right for them, or just, you know, to be kind, it comes back. And they do, it's just amazing to see how much they will go out of their way to say, I want to make sure you're okay, regardless of anything. And I don't know, that's very inspiring to me. And it just says, I want to do it for someone else. And even if it's not someone that I'm close to, it inspires you to say, go a little bit farther. You can always make a little bit more effort for someone, because you don't know what a simple smile can do for someone else. So
if we are capable of comforting someone who's mourning, right, and other people are capable of comforting us, how much more capable is our Lord of comforting us in our mourning? Like, that's just the fact that we are willing to comfort each other is proof that, that the Lord, that this beatitude, that we can totally take comfort in this beatitude. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. It shouldn't be too much of a stretch for us to accept, you know, if we just stop to ponder the fact that those who mourn get comforted, you know, even by complete strangers. Look at crazy things that happen in the world and complete strangers come out of nowhere to provide comfort. Of course, our Lord is going to provide comfort for us. And of course,
great.
We can trust that.
I've seen that, you know, with the same friend that I'm talking about. It's great to see we both go to youth group together. And she recently started because she wasn't part of youth group for a long time. And, you know, when we first talked about all these things that we were going through, she looks at me and she's like, look at that. Like, how much more stronger do you feel when we're both together, when I can comfort you? And then you think about it.
With Christ.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And your relationship. That's exactly what I was going. I was like, man, if that's just between us and he's the one that's giving us the strength, imagine what he can do alone. Like, I don't know. It's just mesmerizing. And it's something amazing. It's something that gives you a lot of hope.
Well, we are out of time. So I wanted to thank you both, Zach and Mai, for being here again. We'll close with a quick prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we love you and we praise you. We give you thanks for our mourning, even though sometimes we don't recognize your grace in our mourning. Help us to recognize your comfort in our mourning. Help us to be willing to comfort each other and to accept the comfort that you offer. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You've been listening to Raising Saints on AM 820 St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Katie Wyatt, and until next time, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bye now.
Raising Saints is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Raising Saints with Katie Wyatt are available at stgabrielradio.com. Then he